At the time of the Declaration of Independence, it wasn't known what electricity was. A fluid, perhaps, or a fire? The first English edition of Franklin's book, Experiments and Observations on Electricity, made at Philadelphia in America, had been printed in London in 1751. By 1776, it had gone through five editions, three in French, and at least one in German and one in Italian. Franklin is, of course, well known as one of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, but he spent much time in the 1740s and 50s experimenting at home in Philadelphia. Since his first visit to England at 19, where he worked for two London printing companies, he had come home and built up his printing shop and his newspaper, as well as Poor Richard's Almanac. As he approached 40, he gave the work of his printing business to a partner, and began to spend time on what he loved, experimenting. He wrote to a friend, "I hope soon to be quite a master of my own time, with leisure to read, study, make experiments, and converse at large with such ingenious and worthy men as are pleased to honour me with their friendship or acquaintance." As we said, in the 1750s there was little electrical knowledge. The Greek philosopher Thales, around 600 BC, had said that rubbing amber could, in dry weather, enable it to pick up pieces of straw or pine needles. The same thing happened with glass. Further, glass and amber seemed to possess some opposite fluid, for they tended to attract each other. Larger bodies could be charged up, like the charge that builds up in the winter on a woman's silk dress. Many experimenters began to play with bigger and bigger charges, sometimes getting shocks. A large sphere of glass with an axle could be rotated and thus rubbed quite fast, building up a very large charge. Franklin also knew that European experimenters had learned how to store that charge in a jar, the so-called Leyden jar devised in the Dutch city of Leyden. He came to his discoveries about lightning rods after he had found in his home experiments that a pointed conductor would discharge an electrified body without actually touching it. To his friend Peter Collinson, an English botanist, he wrote, "Place a large shot metal ball of 3 or 4 inches diameter on the mouth of a clean, dry glass bottle. By a fine silken thread from the ceiling, right over the mouth of the bottle, suspend a small cork ball so that the cork ball may rest against the side of the metal ball. Electrify the metal, and the cork will be repelled 4 or 5 inches, more or less." This is, of course, just the usual Coulomb repulsion experiment beginning students may perform in school today. He goes on, "If you now point a long, slender, sharp bodkin, a pin or a needle would suffice today, the electrical fire will be drawn off by the point. 'Tis surprising to see how the cork ball then falls back." This electrical property of a sharp metal point to discharge nearby things is one of the most important discoveries Franklin ever made. He didn't know for sure that lightning was just electricity, but he went on to perform with his son the famous and dangerous kite experiment to clinch the matter. This same experiment had been attempted by the physicist George Rickman in St. Petersburg in Russia in 1753 and had killed him. Meanwhile, in London, a Royal Society commission recommended the use of Franklin's sharp points in lightning conductors, but one of the commission members dissented, saying that it would be better to use knobs, which were blunter than Franklin's points. The matter became political, blunt versus sharp, with King George III then ordering all lightning conductors to be changed to blunt. Franklin knew from his home experiments that sharp worked better, but merely said in a letter to a friend, "Disputes are apt to sour one's temper and disturb one's quiet. I have no private interest in the reception of my inventions by the world." Finally, it was discovered, just before 1900, that electricity wasn't a fire or a fluid. The basic carrier of electricity turned out to be the tiny electron, from the Greek word electron for amber.